As Pastor Seiler would say, so good.
Good. Thank you, Phil, for blessing us with your music this morning. God's grace and mercy and peace be yours in Christ Jesus, those people who have been redeemed from death and the devil. Today we meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here St. Paul invites us as God's people with this simple exhortation: keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Heaven is going to be amazing. We get many images and pictures in the scriptures of what heaven will be like. Think with me for a moment. In the Old Testament, we get a picture of heaven, and it is God's holy mountain. And there on God's holy mountain, all the peoples of the earth will stream to this holy mountain. And we will no longer have swords and knives. No, we'll beat these swords and knives into plowshares because humans will no longer practice the art of warfare. And then in the New Testament, we get a picture of heaven. And it is that holy city, Jerusalem, with 12 gates and a long wall around those. Each gate is a pearl encrusted with different jewels. The streets are paved with gold, and our bodies are going to be something amazing. St. Paul tells us what our bodies will be like. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we hear, Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the things yet to come. So we look to Jesus, what our bodies will be like in heaven. And after the resurrection, we get a picture of bodies that still walk around. They talk, they eat fish, they communicate with other people. And St. Paul encourages us, keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Heaven is going to be amazing. Because on that last day, with our bodies no longer corrupted by sin and death and the power of the devil, our five senses will be alive like never before. We will see rainbows of beauty. Maybe our touch, as we run it along some wooden structure, will burst with sensations like never before. Think with me for a moment. I know all of you have probably had some sort of science experiment like this in your life, where you put different substances on different parts of your tongue. I know I did. And I learned more in that one science class than I probably did in the entire semester. And I learned how intricate these bodies are. But on the last day, our taste buds will be like never before. We're going to smell things like never before. Two of my favorite smells in the world are movie theater popcorn and cookies and cream chocolate bars. Now, I don't know what smells await us on that glorious day, but I know they'll make me forget about movie theater popcorn forever, unless, of course, my Savior has a big bowl of popcorn waiting there for me at the pearly gates. On that last day, we will hear brooks bubbling, children laughing, maybe even silence will have a more profound scent to it. On that last day, we will see God. But that day has not yet come. We're the people of God who live on this side of heaven. We know what our reward is going to be like one day, but we're not quite there yet. And for the people of God who are on this side of heaven, this side of their reward, St. Paul paints a picture for us of what life is like until we get there. And to that end, St. Paul says here and in other places, he says, imitate me. Imitate this apostle? Think with me for a moment. Put on your theological caps. What did this apostle go through when he gives us that exhortation, that encouragement to imitate me until you get to your heavenly reward? What did this apostle go through in his ministry? He went through imprisonment, beatings, shipwrecks, mockings for the faith, public stonings. Imitate this apostle? I don't think so. Maybe next New Year's resolution. Maybe next Lenten fast. I don't think so, Apostle Paul. It's not really my calling. But you know what? It wasn't really the Apostle Paul's calling either. And it's not really our calling. It's God's calling. And today in our story, St. Paul paints a picture for us of what our reward will be like. But until then, he says, imitate me. Now, the Christian life is a lot like going to a baseball game with someone who knows nothing about baseball. Okay, track with me for a moment.
So you and your friend who knows nothing about baseball, they go to a Cardinals baseball game back in the glory days when Waino was at his best. And you sit down, and there it is just a sight to behold. The first batter comes up, and he's standing there. What happens? Well, it goes 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. And the batter gets 3 strikes, and he goes and sits down. And your friend, who has never been to a baseball game before, leans over and says, well, what's going on? And you kindly explain, well, okay, yeah, you get 3 strikes and you're done playing for a while, you have to go sit down. Okay, no problem. Well, the next batter comes up, and when this batter comes up, what happens? Well, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 balls. And now this batter goes and he takes his base, and your friend is befuddled, and he turns and says, well, what's going on now? And you kindly explain, well, okay, you get 4 balls and you get a free base. It's like you get a hit. Okay, no problem. Now the next batter comes up, and this batter, when he comes up and he's standing there, he foul tips like crazy. Pew, 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 pew. 12 foul tips to some fortunate fans in the stands. And your friend turns and looks and says, what is going on now? And you kindly reply, well, you know, you get unlimited foul tips in the game of baseball. And he says, 3 strikes, 4 balls, unlimited foul tips. Who made up this crazy game? And when you sit there and think about it, good point. Those are strange rules. Who made up this crazy game? And I sit there and say, I didn't make up the game. You didn't make up the game. Just sit back, grab a soft pretzel, and enjoy what we have before us. And as a pastor, I get asked this question all the time. And in the Christian life, I'm sure you do too. Pastor Christian, who made up this crazy game? Why did God pick these rules that we have? Why does God care so much about the institution and the sacredness of marriage? Why does God give us the Ten Commandments? Those seem like very strange rules. Pastor, why does God care about the generosity of my spirit? Why? And you know what? I might even sympathize with you and say, if I had to pick the rules, I probably wouldn't pick some of those. It'd make my life certainly a lot easier if I could just ignore or erase some of them. But these are just the rules. I didn't make them. You didn't make them. Just get a soft pretzel and enjoy the game of life. I want to meditate on our story for a moment today and see some of the rules that St. Paul gives us as Christians. And even though we know where we're going, he draws this picture for us of what to do until then. If you would open up in your worship folders to page 4, we'll look at the 1 Corinthians passage together. St. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. Here at the second paragraph, these things happened to the people of Israel as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did, for the scriptures say, the Israelites celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. And going on a little bit further, for if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, for when you are tempted, God will show you a way out so that you can endure. St. Paul, when he is writing this, he is dealing with a group of Christians there 2,000 years ago that are experiencing a whole host of intellectual problems because they don't like some of the rules that they're experiencing in this life. And it's sometimes the same way to us today as we experience those rubs in our Christian life. And St. Paul, he lingers on one topic in our story for today. Did you catch it there as I read it? St. Paul says this, he calls it today, sexual immorality. It goes by many names. We could call it desires of the flesh. We could call it lust, but we know what it is. It's our own sinful nature, deep down, lurking inside each and every single one of us. And St. Paul talks about it for today, and I think we should talk about it for today as well. But look, I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty details. I don't think that would honor the dignity and the sacredness of this house of worship, or the privilege and the honor that I have of coming and sharing this message with you today, but I do think it's something we need to talk about. These desires of the flesh that were broken in St. Paul's culture and sometimes are broken in our culture as well, because people often ask me, Pastor, why? Pastor, why? Why does God care so much about these desires of the flesh? Why does God create these seemingly obscure and incoherent rules? Why, Pastor? Why does God care that marriage is between one man and one woman? Why does God want these desires of the flesh only expressed in that marriage? With that spouse? These rules don't make sense to me, and it seems like our culture has just simply exploded and imploded like it did in St. Paul's culture as well. So I did a little research because I wanted to draw out a little bit of this idea of St. Paul's desires of the flesh today for us without going too deep into the nitty-gritty details. So I researched the brokenness of this, and we'll call it inappropriate images and videos. But some of the desires of the flesh that we experience today, 9 out of 10 experience these inappropriate images and videos before the age of 18, with the first exposure on average being 12 years old. 9 out of 10. By the age of 17, 62% of women access these inappropriate images and videos, and 1 out of every 5 women by the age of 20 access it weekly. And 90% of all of these images come through the internet. Smartphones, tablets, mobile devices. 25% of smartphones and tablets have downloaded inappropriate content on it right now. And for mobile devices, 1 out of every 5 internet searches is not God-pleasing. It says here 70% of all TV contains some sort of allusion or idea to these behaviors that God does not like. 70%, and if you're blessed to be watching the other 70% or the other 30%, there's still commercials out there. Who knows, I could be reading something on the internet about the economy or something, and you get to the bottom and there's those 10 teasers there, and there's at least 2 or 3 teasers that God's people should not be clicking on. We can't go anywhere. Music, movies, television, perfume aisles, clothing aisles, the checkout line at the grocery store. These bodies that St. Paul talks about are targeted in every sense, our sight, our smell, our taste, our touch, our sound, every sense to lust, these sinful desires of the flesh. Well, I don't know about you right now, but I could sure use some good news. In just a moment, I want you to turn and hear some good news and sing it with me in our bulletins. I invite you to sing with me a song. It's called Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God. This is a prayer in your bulletin, but this prayer was actually a prayer written 2,000 years ago by a leader of God's people. His name was King David. This king was a mighty leader for God's people. And even though he was a mighty leader, he was a man who was married. But one day he turned and he looked and he saw somebody else who was married. And he went and he created a child with another man's wife. And this did not make God happy, but when King David saw the brokenness of what he did, he sat down and he wrote this song. It's called Psalm 51. It's a psalm. It's a song. And it says, Create in me a clean heart, O God. It's a song by a mighty leader of God's people. One who knows what he does, one who knows what St. Paul talks about for today, and yet he writes this psalm for us. So I encourage you, if you are somebody who struggles with the things that St. Paul talks about for today, sing this song. If you are somebody who knows of somebody who struggles with this, sing this song. And if you are a child of God here in this congregation for today, sing this song to pray to God to renew a right spirit within us all.